This week on the Glass Cannon Podcast, Patrol Sergeant Omos Frum makes his triumphant return.
He's like, what is this, rum?
It's whiskey. It's room.
It's room?
It's a vial of room. Drink it.
Well, when in room.
Oh, Omos.
And he's not taking any lip from Galabras.
It's a technical term. You're not in the army. You don't know. Go back to church, church boy. Go put a band-aid on something, churchy.
But Galabras isn't going down without a fight.
Laugh it up. Everyone laugh at the cleric who doesn't know how to use his new fucking weapon.
The heroes prepare for battle on True Now's last line of defense.
There are waves and waves of these things, and there's all manner of things. Here they come!
The adventure continues now.
Friends, Romans, countrymen, Glass Canadians all over the world, welcome to the newest episode of the Glass Cannon Podcast. It is I, Skid, otherwise known as the Animus behind the recently rage-fueled cleric of Desna, Galabras. Just want to get a couple of thank yous out of the way real quick. First of all, thank you once again to our good friend Nick Lowe, who managed to sneak in a very nice mention of the podcast on the This Week in Marvel podcast. That was super sweet. Thank you, and excelsior to you, dear sir. Also want to thank, if we haven't before, David and Spencer from the Thank You Internet podcast for also giving us a very nice mention. Give them a listen if you get a chance. It's about internet culture. It's very funny, good chemistry. And I really, 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 really want to thank all the people writing in. You've gotten so many emails and tweets and Facebook messages from people giving us advice and feedback of all kinds, and anger, praise. We love the praise. That's great. Please keep that coming. So yeah, please just keep writing in. We just love that so much, and it's the lifeblood of the show, and please keep it up. So before we jump into this week's episode, I wanted to talk for a second about character backstories and my sort of approach to creating one. Any established gamers out there will know how important they are, but for those who don't, it really is crucial to have, I think, a detailed, well-thought-out history to your character that goes back before the first time you sit down to play. So myself, the way I usually go about it is I'll work backwards. I'll have a character concept in mind, and then I'll try to imagine what sort of confluence of circumstance and fate and decisions will conspire to create this person whose image I have in my mind. So after I've given that some thought, I will sit down and write it out as a short story, which I'll then share at least with the Dungeon Master. So, and I make it as detailed as I can. I think about family members, friends, enemies, geography, social class, like all that stuff. And I try to at least make mention of all that stuff, like in the story. The more details that you can give to your DM, the more that he can then include later on down the line as part of the story. Even in a pre-written adventure like the one we're playing, like a good DM or even Troy can put details from your backstory and make them part of the adventure, make it, personalize it, you know? So that's great. And we've given our backstories to Troy, and we've discussed them a little bit on the show. Not too much, because we want to maintain some kind of mystery and hope that there will be interest in like discovering things about these our guys, like kind of along the way. But the problem that I've run into a lot of times in the past, and I'm curious if anyone else out there has run into this, is that so often I find all these great details from the histories of the characters never end up coming out over the course of the game. And I think people, for a number of reasons, I think people get kind of start to take things for granted about the other characters. They think, oh, I basically know everything there is to know about the other guys in my group. And they just get more interested in the plot and the combat and everything else going forward. And they forget about all this stuff that they just never ask about, just never comes up. which is a shame because as a player, the better, the clearer the picture you have of these other characters and what motivates them, the better the storytelling ends up being and the richer the relationships that the characters have with each other. So what I usually like to do, and we haven't done this for this podcast, is I like to have everyone share their backstories with all the other players right at the beginning. So even if the characters aren't aware of each other's backstories, if the players are, it heightens the level of interest and investment that everyone has in each other. And at the same time, I completely understand the other way of thinking about it, the wanting to maintain the mystery and let these things gradually come out like during the game. And that anticipation that you have about, oh, I can't wait to drop that my guy is the bastard son of a shape-shifting transsexual pirate king or whatever. Like, that's very exciting to think about. But if that never comes out, or it comes out too late, past the point where anyone cares, then you're losing like all that storytelling possibility, all that relationship-building possibility. But as always, we would like to know what you think. Do you think it would help you enjoy the show more if you were made fully aware of our characters' backstories? Or would you like us to keep going at the pace we're going, dropping little details along the way? Please, please, please write in. Let us know what you think. But enough of my bullshit. Let's get on with this week's show. If you remember, last week's episode ended with the reintroduction of the perpetually inebriated, drunken, utterly useless fan favorite Patrol Sergeant Omas Frum, which leads us right into this week's episode, the title of which fills me with a strange mix of pride and shame. Episode 18, From Here to Infirm Is He.
That's right. Everybody's favorite NPC is back! Patrol Sergeant Omas Frum.
I hate him.
Aww. Yeah. Yes, so you guys finally make it to these makeshift barricades. And before I get into Omas, just give you an idea of what's happening. So clearly when this orc raid began at Roderick's funeral, you now realize that these half-orc saboteurs were like sleeper agents within the city. And they somehow sabotaged the western gate to get into this inner quarter, which allowed the orc vanguard to like surge into the district.
They had some plants in the tavern.
Plants, of course, plants.
Plants. Yes. Plants. That was a totally legitimate way to pronounce that word.
I agree.
Keep jumping on it.
You know what? Have we talked about the rums we've been into lately?
We haven't.
So many plants and rums.
Plants and rums.
And the roughs.
And now that you guys are closer to you, this is the closest you've come to the inner gate, and you just see, you can see a battering ram. They're trying to break through the portcullis. So the members of the True Now's militia, they managed, you can see, they managed to close one of the gates, two portcullises, following what you would presume to be the initial attack. So they closed one of them. The other one is like broken, as far as you can see. And the one portcullis that's down is what these orcs. You just see waves and waves of orcs off in the distance. And there's half a dozen or so with a battering ram trying to get through the portcullis that's still standing there. Meanwhile, the militia or Omast, you're not sure yet, were able to construct two barricades, which you are now standing in front of behind the gates in preparation for them to breaking through. So it's just like wood, pieces of houses, and it stretches wide across the inner quarter here. And you guys are behind both of them. And as far as you can tell, looking at the two towers that the portcullises are connected to, there is like a guard hanging dead out of one window and bodies of guards laying around it. So as far as you know, the guard towers are empty. The guards have either been killed
useless
or fled. But now you see your old buddy Omas Frum. He comes riding
on horseback,
riding in on a horse, basically falls off the horse, wakes up, takes a swig out of his flask, and vomits. Hey guys, what's going on?
Was the horse drunk?
Omas, what's the word from the front? Is Kurt still alive?
What's the word from the back? High five!
I'm taking you in. I am taking you in for a DUI on that horse.
You take me down to Chattertown.
See, this is why I hate them.
I'm now handing you all a map that I'm going to put up on our Tumblr just to give you a better idea of what the scene looks like right here. And I'm going to give you a little explanation. So there are two crenellated towers. And there's a portcullis, one of which is broken, the other which is down, but is being battering rammed through. Then there's some houses off to the side, and then there are these two barricades, and you're standing behind both of them. There is a boulder in the middle, and you would assume that this is one of the boulders that came flying through town. That is between the two barricades. And then there are these two piles of logs, you see, that are tied up with string. And going down from where you guys are standing all the way to the portcullis is like
Slope.
Sloped downward towards there. So you think that they were trying to set up some sort of precautionary measures.
A trap to in case release they break the logs.
Right. Yeah.
So it's like the Ewoks.
Totally.
Ewok thing.
Yes.
Or the 13th Warrior with Antonio Banderas.
Nobody saw that.
Antonio Banderas didn't even see that.
That is nice. That is a great movie. I love that movie.
Unfortunately, your only sort of vehicle to figure out what's going on here and how this all works is your old pal Omast.
Oh, so we look around like behind him, and there's nobody manning these barricades.
Nobody manning.
Everybody's dead.
It's just Omast.
Omast, what are you doing?
I'm here to give them orcs what they came here for. Let loose the logs and the boulder. Let's have some fun.
Howie skitters out of Gormley's robes and onto her extended hand, and she lowers her hand right in front of Omast's face, and she says, "Get it together."
I just... Oh, he vomits again.
Oh, God.
You see that he's, like, nauseated and sickened.
Give him the soothing syrup.
No, let's save that for us.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Omast.
Fuck you, Omast.
How much do we have?
You got, I think, two vials.
We have two vials of it, and then a vial of, like, some other similar...
Give it to him.
I say give it to him.
Give it to him.
You see waves of orcs coming on, and you know that Omast is a venerable warrior. Did I use venerable right?
No.
That means old, says the playwright.
I really wanted venerable to be right there.
Well, it's like old and respected, but
not
it doesn't
vulgar.
Necessarily mean
good.
Fighter.
Effective.
If he were sober, I think he might be... pretty effective. He could at least explain how to manipulate.
So, but Lork would know that, like, if he joined the combat, he'd be effective. If he wasn't vomiting,
he'd be extremely effective.
Yeah, all right, then we'll give him the soothing syrup, and I want to take one too. Or is one of us should?
You should.
What does soothing syrup do?
It prevents nausea.
And it gives you +5 on fortitude saves against nausea for like an hour or something.
It's like a 1 hour preventative.
And I have them. I have the vials on me. So I grab one and says, "Like, here, drink this."
And he's like, "What is this? What is this, Rob?
It's whiskey.
It's room.
It's room.
It's a vial of room. Drink it."
Well, when in room.
Omast.
Nailed it.
Still got it.
We're having fun. We're gonna die soon.
He drinks it, and it's like Popeye music. He kind of like drops to one knee and just vomits. And he's like booting rally. He stands up and is like, "Whoa, what happened the last 14 days?
You've been drinking, Omast. We need you to focus. We're under attack.
Oh, man, what is going on? I am out of sorts.
Turn around quickly.
I remember this. yes. Okay. All right. And now you can slowly see this guy that you have had zero respect for so far. You can see that there's a hint of a real warrior here. And he says, "All right, yes. I remember how this all works. All right, guys, bear with me. Who puked? That is a lot of puke. Anyways,
it was Baron.
All right, so here's the deal.
It was you hideous drunk."
Please.
Labrys is still feeling this rage.
He's working off that adrenaline from the last fight.
Gormley lays a hand on Glabrous' shoulder. And then starts to stroke it a little bit.
Oh.
Stop touching me!
Oh, it's you, Gormley.
I still think Gormley's a fucking weirdo, Baron.
And Galabras is
really, Gormley, I really does still creep Galabras out. There's so the creepy factor like kind of overrides the anger.
Yeah, exactly.
Even the help Gormley gives us is so fucking weird.
Creeping out allies and enemies.
Looks at people funny.
Yeah. Well, that's a witch for you.
It's Gormley. Like if someone breaks into your house and like John Wayne Gacy comes in and like kicks them out and you're like, well, thanks. I guess. Could you please leave now also?
The killer clown. You know John Wayne Gacy, like he was a pillar of the community.
Yeah.
And he was like
he took a picture with Nancy Reagan, like
he was very heavily involved with the church.
He dressed up like a clown and hid boys under his floorboards of his house.
Hey, if that's wrong, I don't want to be right.
He took a picture he has a picture of himself with the first lady, from like 3 weeks before he was arrested.
Oh man, don't get me started talking about serial killers. When I see those like History Channel serial killer hours, I'll sit there and watch 10 hours on end. Fascinating stuff. Moving on. Any Philip K. Dick facts? No? Okay.
I do. I still have like 3 Philip K. Dick facts.
You've been saving these up.
Got to wait for
saving them for like 7 episodes.
Got to wait for you. Got to choose your dick pics.
Hey man. Let me know.
Oh, Mass is like, all right. Yes, I remember this. Me and you out here. When they're crashing, do you see the wood splintering on the portcullis that stands remaining? Is that the portcullis sound effect? It's like, yes, all right, I remember this. Okay, so we have these two barricades here, and you can see that the barricades are about 3 feet high and 5 feet wide, and they're, I said that last episode, they were about 30 feet apart. You can see now that they're 25 feet apart, give or take. And basically, all you need to know about the barricades is...
What do you mean by 5 feet wide? Do you mean 50 feet wide?
No, they're 5 feet deep. Like
Thick, thick.
Yeah, thick.
Gotcha.
Thick.
Gotcha.
5 feet thick and 3 feet high. Now, what you need to know is to cross a barricade, it's going to cost you 2 squares of movement to cross it. So bear that in mind. If you're within 30 feet of a barricade, you have cover, but so does your enemies. But if you're closer to the barricade than your enemy is, assuming they break through, you can ignore the cover that they're granted. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yes.
I could have said that in a much simpler way.
This is all crystal clear. Let's do this.
Is it really?
Not at all.
Really?
Not at all.
I'm so confused.
I'm good.
Makes
sense?
We'll
figure it out as we go.
Okay.
It's all right. It's fine.
It's just if you're behind the barricade's high. So if you're behind it, then anyone attacking you with ranged weapons has to roll for cover. But if you're closer to the barricade than the enemy is, you don't have to roll for cover to hit them.
Of course, that's what it means to be behind a barricade. Like if you're right up against it, you have the advantage on the enemy that's farther away.
That's 100%. Okay.
Here comes the story of the barricade.
So that's basically what Omas tells you. He's like, okay, and then, oh yes, the boulder. So we have this boulder here, this sticky boulder, and both Galabras and Baron notice that it's covered with this same alchemical substance that you guys have been seeing around town. So you realize you could probably light it on fire if you wanted to.
The logs?
The boulder.
The giant boulder town. It still has residue on it from when it flew through. So
maybe it was like a dud for them, but now we can light it.
Yeah.
Like a shitty firecracker.
I can light that with a cantrip, with spark.
Yeah.
Right.
And he says, we can push this. If they come through, we can find the right time, and one of us, if someone's really strong, can push it in any direction, and it's going to move, and you can see that it's about 10 feet wide. It's going to move 10 feet in any direction that it's pushed, and it's not going to stop until it hits something, and it'll knock out things.
So if it goes down the slope right toward the portcullis where they might come in, bam!
Could hit them right away.
Right.
And you realize that it also has this substance on it that could be lit, possibly. Who knows? Then you see in front of the... first barricade, the barricade that's closest to the someone's tea ready.
Somebody's got to either get their tea off or check their brakes.
Sobering. I'm sorry, I was making some Sanka.
Sanka doesn't whistle.
I don't know. You're a weird guy.
There's something wrong with your microwave.
You're a weird guy, Ace. It's like, oh yes, all right. So in front of the barricade that's closest to the portcullis, there are these two giant. Tied up things of logs, and you see that they can just be like released, and those will roll down the hill, taking out people and things in their path. And just on a technical standpoint, so you know, it'll take one person 2 rounds to untie the logs. It'll take 2 people one round to untie a thing of logs, or it'll take one person a standard action to just chop it and have them roll down. Make sense?
Yep. Yes.
Yep.
And then there are sharpened stakes also in front of the first barricade. And Lork, you realize that this is just like when you killed those dogs before. At any point, yeah, someone could just brace these stakes and hope that these stupid orcs come running right at them.
Hold! Hold!
And there, if you do impale someone, it does 2d8 damage with the stakes.
Oof,
and nice. So Omas is showing you all this stuff, and he's like, and also, I've got a weapons cache over here. And he brings you over, and he's got a glaive, a guisarme, a halberd, two long spears, and a rancer, all standing upright in a barrel near the westernmost barricade. He says, if any of you needs something, some of these have reach, some of these you could trip with it.
He says some of them have reach.
Some of these have reach. It's a technical term. You're not in the army. You don't know. Go back to church, church boy.
Sorry. I just hate fucking Omar so much. I'm just undercutting him, like, everything he does.
What do you know, church boy?
Go put a band-aid on something, churchy.
Awesome.
Some of these you can use to disarm. Some you can brace. Some you can use to trip enemies. Do the math.
They do 2d8 damage if you brace.
For the record, I don't know what half of those items are.
Yeah, I don't think I can use like any of these things.
Probably just Lork.
Yeah, and I already have a reach weapon.
I could use...
Yeah, maybe Baron. Actually,
I could put a glaive guisarme on my back.
Is there a long spear, you said?
Yeah, there's two long spears.
I could use a long spear.
Those have both brace and reach.
That's a simple weapon.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Or is it a short spear is a simple weapon, I think. Maybe a long spear is more.
Yeah.
I have both long spear and short spear.
Yeah, well, you know, in the throws of battle, we can look it up and move
well,
on.
Well, what we know is that we can't use spears. The most important thing is to get you guys to get some sort of slashing weapon. You have a dagger, Gormley, to cut the logs?
Just my hope knife.
Yeah, oh, that's fine. You know, something to cut the rope.
I can use all martial weapons, so I can use any of
those. Oh, beautiful. Okay, good.
And he's like, I we got to get ready because they're going to... You hear... While he's talking, you can barely hear him talk. He's like, there are waves and waves of these things. And there's all manner of things. This is going to be a battle. And it's up to us to save Trunau.
Ah! Yeah, and Lork goes...
He's like, I'll do my best to move them in position to help get on either side, which you know to be a flank. I'll do that. And you guys do the damage. And let's take back this city. Take back the night. And just as he says that, you can see that the portcullis is about to be broken through. Is there any last things you need to do before the Battle of Blood March Hill really explodes?
I'm 5 hit points down. We might as well use it. Might as well hit me with a Cure Light Wounds real quick.
Yeah, I will zap him with the wand of Cure Light Wounds.
I'm 3 down.
Oh, shit. Hey, well, 4 points to you. Do you really want me to use a charge of this wand to...
Okay. No, that's fine.
I can.
It's fine.
You know what? Without your consent, I'm going to do it.
Whoa.
Okay, you're back. You're back to max.
Yeah.
It's fine. I don't need it. Keep your wand.
Are you hurt?
No.
Are you hurt that I just...
No, I was being Baron.
No. I just played this like Skid's high school girlfriend. No, I don't need it. No,
how do you
fine.
Know Kathy Ottman? You don't know her.
Shout out to Kathy Ottman. All right, so everybody's got their healing. Everybody knows what's going down. Do you guys need to do any strategy? Do you guys talk to each other? Like, who's doing what? What's the plan?
Lork is going to, I think Lork is going to stay back and fire his longbow, which he will have no penalty at this range all the way to the portcullis until the boulder needs to be pushed. And then he'll push the boulder. I think that's what his job should be.
And Gormley can spark the boulder, so I feel like if you need help pushing or... I can do it from 25 feet away, too, so I don't necessarily need to be up and close on the...
Hey, here's a question for you. What's the range on a crossbow, and were there any in that weapons cache?
That's nice.
They're great. They're pushing through, man.
They're coming.
Push it through.
What's the range on a crossbow? There's no time for this.
Can you load it as a move action?
Does it provoke an attack of opportunity?
I mean, to answer your question, Grant, I have stats on the crossbow up to 400 feet. It's just not very accurate at that range.
What is the prime range?
30 feet or 80 feet.
All right, fuck it. Sticking with the pistol.
80 feet, basically.
Yeah. 80 feet
is the maximum.
Penalty?
Right.
No, you can go 160. I still get +2 on it.
Is there a crossbow in the weapons cache? Light crossbow?
There is not.
Okay, fuck it.
Galabras casts Shield of Faith upon himself. Ooh. So he stands back, his eyes like roll up into his head, and he like lowers his hands, and this like shimmering like kind of shield like comes up around him. And +2 deflection bonus AC, so my a little bit harder to hit.
Omas comes up, puts his hand on your shoulder, and says, "Good, you'll need your prayers now.
Don't ever touch me again."
Actually, that's a great idea. Lork is going to chug his potion of bull strength. And potion of bark skin. Yeah. So his
shouldn't mix drinks.
So his natural armor goes up and his strength goes up. So he's all like juiced up.
You know, we have a potion of Shield of Faith too that I don't think we've used yet.
No, we do. I thought that's what you were using.
No, I'm using the spell. So if somebody wants to take that potion.
Take that?
Yeah, take it, bro.
What does it do?
+2 deflection.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
The last thing Omas says is, "Don't shoot all of our wards. Save some things. This is going to be a long battle. I've seen outside the walls. I've climbed the ramparts. There are waves and waves of these. So be strategic about this. Don't use everything at once or we're dead. Here they come!" Roll for initiative.
Oh, jeez.
All right, who got anybody over 20?
17 for Lork.
17. Baron, what'd you get?
13.
Oof. Gorms?
10 for Gormley.
What?
Glabbers? Not a great roll.
You know, I against character, I rolled really high, and I rolled a 2. What the fuck was that?
They're coming through.
That was the dropped iPad sound. Okay, so the portcullis cracks open, and maybe it's just the way this is all going down, but just as the wood splinters and you see these green bodies come through, the skies open up and rain comes down. Do you have anything like storm, Joe?
I do. I do, because just Sirenscape is the best. Let's see.
Oh,
it starts raining. You can hear they're attacking through the portcullis.
And you see 6 orcs just run full speed, double move for you kids at home, towards the barricade. 6 orcs just come running through. And now it is Lork's turn.
Oh, Lork, all right.
Now, right now, just to give you an idea, you are behind the second barricade, but you want to get in front of that barricade, is what Omas is like. Do your best to stay between the two barricades until they break through that first one. Then we'll move back,
okay,
if need be.
Okay, then.
But we must hold the first barricade.
Okay, then Lork will double move to get over the first barricade. He's gonna be, his armor is so heavy that he can't. I mean, you placed us in a position where we're 20 feet away from the first barricade. Is that right? We weren't standing right at the first barricade?
You could be standing right at the first barricade.
Okay, then
you guys
will,
were talking and milling about.
Okay, then he will use a single move to get over the first barricade and then shoot with cover at the other guy has better cover, but he'll take a shot with his longbow at the first guy coming up the wall.
Sure.
So cover is like, is it like a 40% mischance or something like that? I don't really remember how
it was. 20. I think cover
it's
20.
It's
20%. Yeah. Until I...
20% mischance.
I'm going to say 20%.
Okay. Here we go. He takes a shot with his bow. Gets it on concealment. That's a 17 to hit.
17 hits.
For 7 points of damage.
Oh,
yes! Right between the little spikes of the... of the barricade. Yeah. Arrow goes right through.
Hits him. Fs him up. Baron.
Baron has a quick load action. Puts a flare. Well, he moves up basically to where Lork is, right alongside Lork. on the other side of the barricade, and he shoots at that same guy. And before he shoots, he loads a flare alchemical cartridge into his pistol.
Oh, I don't think... Have we seen this?
Is this new? The first time.
Ooh.
And he rolls a 24 to hit.
Yeah, that's a hit.
And
damn.
For damage... So he's going to do half of that. So he's going to do, and then plus one. So he's going to do 3 damage.
Okay.
That the person I hit is blinded for 1 round.
Oh, that's cool.
But you roll a fortitude DC. Has to beat 15.
Fortitude save succeeds.
Okay. Otherwise, it's dazzled, and creatures within a 20-foot burst radius are dazzled for 1 round.
Oh, wow.
Are you kidding me? Holy shit.
How many of those do you have?
3 more.
Oh, wow. You and Lork are just outside of that, but 4 of his buddies are, at least 2 of his buddies are in that, and they're dazzled. Huge. All right,
that's
so
awesome.
Lork steps up, hits this guy, and then Baron blows him away, and the guy's like, I can't see. All right, Gormley.
Gormley will hop over the barricade as well to stand next to other side of Lork.
Nimbly hop.
Yeah, and she's gonna. So the first orc is the one that both Lork and Baron hit.
Yes.
And the two behind him are dazzled.
Yes.
All right.
Correct.
So there is one off to the side.
Yep.
One
who's kind of doing his own thing. He's coming. You can tell he's trying
coming
to come
up near
around.
Around the logs.
Yeah.
Gormley is going to.
I think they're all dazzled, right? I think they're all within 20 feet, right?
No, not the outside one.
All of these guys.
Right. So the 4 behind him are dazzled.
Yeah.
So they all have -1 to hit.
Okay.
So Gormley is going to evil eye the one off to the side.
Okay.
Saving throws.
Saving throws? Okay. What is it, a will save?
Yep, DC 14.
Fail.
So for 6 rounds, you have -2 to all saving throws.
Uh-oh, I can see you're cooking up some sort of thing with that. I don't like it.
This awesome.
Music is epic!
This is so great.
It begins.
And make that 7 with a cackle.
Oh!
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I moved.
You already moved.
Nice try.
Getting too tall for your britches.
All right, Galabras.
All right, Galabras is going to also clamber up on the barricade next to Boner, Baron.
Oh, Boner?
Sorry. Yeah, Boner.
Hey, Mr. Seba.
Hey. Hey, nice gun you got there.
And
I was really dazzled by it.
Is going to raise his crossbow to his shoulder.
Die.
And shoot at the one, the foremost orc.
The one that's already taken 2 ranged hits.
Yep. 11 to hit. No, 13. 13
to hit? That hits.
Yeah!
And does 6 points of damage.
And he is dead.
Yes! Oh, bloodlust!
Yes!
Clerical bloodlust!
Oh, nice job, dude.
And I'm going to fill up his spot with a black space. Just because I feel like there's going to be a lot of bodies littering this.
Oh, okay.
I've got a black space.
That was round 1. In the far off distance, you hear.
Oh, shit.
More coming. You must move quickly. And.
Was that a drum or were those steps?
Is it just like steps?
Or footfall.
So no second scald or anything, though?
As far as you know, no. All right, the guy that Gormley was messing with, he comes around.
Oh, I screwed up the sound, sorry.
Okay.
No, battle's over. All right, we won! We did it!
I told you, I'm still learning this thing.
The battle is over.
I'll get it back.
Oh, no, it's back on and it's raining again!
The rest is over. So, actually, Omas steps up. Omas hops over the barricade, stands up in front of you guys, and makes a motion to jump right over into the fracas by himself.
Oh, Jesus.
So Omas jumps over both barricades and is standing in front of all of the remaining orcs. And you guys are like, that dude's a badass.
Oh, wow.
Meanwhile, he whips out a greatsword as he does so.
Oh, great swords are so badass.
Okay, now, the guy that hexed Gormley, he clambers around the... I don't even know if clambers are a word, but I'm going to use it. Around the logs, and he sees Gormley and decides to shoot his composite shortbow at Gormley. 16 to hit.
Misses.
What?
Mage armor.
Oh, mage armor, bitch!
Finally, it deflects. Finally remember to use it.
Yep. Swum. Okay, and now the
deflects
next
deflects off this magical barrier surrounding your body.
Ding. The next dude comes up and swings a falchion at Omast and hits Omast with his falchion and does 8 points of damage to Omast.
Oh, shit.
You see Omast gets hit pretty bad. The next guy moves up and tries to get over the barricade.
Does it matter? These guys are dazzled still?
Yeah, so they take a minus
one.
That minus one to hit. Still would have hit Omast.
Still would have hit.
The next guy comes up and jumps over the barricade to try and come after you guys. Omast gets an attack of opportunity and hits the orc and kills him. Omast! Yeah. So Omast kills one of the orcs.
His great sword just slices him in half.
The next one comes up, gets over the barricade. Omast can't attack him again. And he fires at Lork. 18 to hit Lork.
Misses.
Misses, Lork!
Thank you, potion of bark skin.
Aha, that's right.
Ah, his skin starts to get hard like the side of a tree.
Yeah.
Wow. And it hits it and just bounces off.
Last guy comes up, whips out his crossbow, aims it straight at Galabras, and it misfires. Critical fumble.
Oh,
we need a card. We need a shitty card.
Okay. Good thing you had those ready, Skid. You know it's showtime, right?
Wait, where are they?
You forgot them?
No, I don't. I definitely have.
This is why we don't put Johnny Walker in the green room. Okay?
Wait, no, I definitely have those cards. They're there. Okay. See?
See? I got the card, see? I got the cards right here, see?
Hand this to Troy so we can read it.
That was, ranged?
That was a ranged weapon, and the critical fumble card... I guess it would just be a fumble, right? We always say critical fumble, but... pinch in parts. The orc takes 1d6 points of damage. Pinch in parts?
That means I think his underwear is riding up on him. I think that's what it means.
Would we say it cleaved?
Yeah.
Cleaved
in twain.
I like that weapon.
And this one takes 2 points of damage. Hoisted by its own petard. And now it is Lork's turn.
Is that a Veep reference?
Love it.
I don't know. It's Shakespeare, bro.
I think it is.
Lork's turn. All right. Lork is going to full attack action. Rapid shot at the Lork to the far most left that just came over the logs because he's in a beautiful, clear line of sight. And he's over the barricade, so easier to hit. So this orc just jumped over the barricade, and Lork is going to fire once, hits 21.
21 hits.
For 6 points of damage. Ooh, draws back again. Fires the second one. 16 to hit?
16 hits.
Hits.
Same guy?
Same guy for 4 points of damage.
And you kill him right there. Only because he had already done 2 points of damage to himself.
He was an easy target. All right.
The bodies of these orcs are piling up. You guys have already taken out 3 out of the 6 of what you know to be the first wave.
So he doubled over from the pain from his underwear. He gets shot in the face.
He's like, shut up.
He was reaching back. He was like, and then just boom, boom, 2 arrows.
I am sweating right now. I'm so in
my palms
fight.
Are sweating. I'm so fired up.
People listening at home are going to be like, this is terribly boring.
I have pissed myself.
I couldn't imagine this is boring.
I might take off my pants. At least by the 4th round. Baron, you
it's
are...
fun. A little bit of fun for everyone.
Baron, do me a favor. Just watch your feet when you...
You been thunderstruck.
Baron is going to take a little 10-foot step to the left side or right side of Lork. He is going to rapid reload with a paper alchemical cartridge.
There's a giant boulder in front of you, though. That's the only thing.
Yeah,
giant
boulder. It's really tall?
Yeah. It's 10 feet wide, 10 feet high.
He's going to take a step forward.
Okay.
Rapid reload with a paper alchemical cartridge. And he is going to... he's just going to shoot this guy. He's not going to get up close and deadly.
Are you going to say something?
Please don't live anymore.
Classic.
Baron.
Pithy.
I remember when Eastwood said that.
That quote is from Wild Wild West, actually.
Really?
Yeah, no. Oh. 23 against touch AC.
Yeah, that's a hit.
And then damage is 3.
3 points of damage. And now, this was the dude that came over the barricade, not the one that Gormley evil-eyed.
Correct.
So we'll call this Barricade Jumper. And then the other guy is Blindy McGee. So you just shot Barricade Jumper for how many points of damage?
3.
His Barricade Jumping days may be over soon. Gormley, you're up. You got one guy who has -2 to saves. You just blasted him.
And she's going to hex him with misfortune.
You bitch.
Oh, the new
Breaking
hex.
Out the
new
hex.
All right, now, am I correct in knowing this is a will save?
Will save.
DC 14.
DC 14. Will. Oh, natty 20.
Oh, right. So there went that shitty hex.
Wasted, but you know what? You just wasted one of my 20s. So
yeah.
Win-win.
Yeah. At least it wasn't used on a crit.
Win-win for the team.
Because there's a limited supply. That's how that works.
Yep.
Mean Skid is out.
Yeah. Skid has no tolerance for, like, lower intelligence at all.
Zero.
That's why he hates Troy as a person.
That's right.
And Omas.
And Omas. It's mostly Omas.
Although I hate Omas more just because he's portrayed by Troy.
Right. Yeah,
that's why.
Galabras, you're up.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
You fucking idiot, Galabras. Omas. Get your shit together.
I hate myself.
Omas is going... God damn it. Galabras
just called
is,
yourself Omas.
I know. I hate punching myself in the face. Galabras is going to load, as a move action, load his crossbow standing atop the barricade and fire at the orc standing atop the barricade directly across from him.
All right, fire when ready.
When ready.
They're far too trusting.
Kill him.
18 to hit.
18 hits. This kill is the him. One that Baron just shot.
Kill him.
And fucking 1 goddamn damage.
The orc just...
His head explodes.
...laughs at you.
What a bitch.
Fuck.
Round
Galabras laughs too.
3.
Did Omas get to go in that round?
Oh, no. Good call. Thank you. I would have forgot Omas. In heartbeat, where is Omas? There he is, that son of a bitch. Okay, so Omas goes and tries to grapple the orc.
What?
In front of him. He grabs the orc.
He seems like a shitty warrior.
Throws him over the barricade.
Whoa.
At you guys.
Whoa.
And says, finish this fuck.
Yes, I will.
This is actually a move known as reposition, which is something in all my Pathfinder days I never knew about until I encountered Omas from.
Oh, I thought he had the flavor feat.
No. Yeah. You roll a CMB +5, and if you succeed against their CMD, you can move
to whatever square adjacent
5 feet in any direction.
Oh, that's cool.
Now, and if he gets for every 5 he gets over their CMD, he can move them another 5 feet. So he takes this guy, throws him over the barricade. Right near you guys.
That's awesome.
Round 3. you're killing all my sweet orcs. Okay, the one that Gormley evil-eyed. I forgot all their nicknames, but hopefully you can follow with me.
Blindy McGee.
That's right, Blindy McGee. So now with Blindy McGee, what does he take, a 50% mischance?
Yes.
All right, so he whips out a great axe.
Why does he take a 50% mischance?
Because he's
blind. Or is blind just...
I didn't blind him.
I'm saving your ass with my fucking flare cartridge.
Oh, no, minus sorry. One. Minus one to hit.
No, this isn't blinding McGee. This was the one that Gormley evil-eyed.
Oh, so he's fine. Besides
so he's five. He comes up with a great axe and swings it straight at Gormley.
Oh, this could be bad.
16?
Does not hit.
Yeah!
Oh.
What? Mage armor!
Oh, so it basically the blade comes down onto this witch who's wearing no armor, defenseless, and magically it's like, shaking! It comes right off her skin.
Flash of light as it like glances.
Oh, so badass.
Awesome. One comes up to Lork and attacks. The other one comes up to Baron and attacks. The first one attacks Lork with a orc double axe. And misses. The next one attacks Baron with a spiked chain. That damn spiked chain again. And also misses!
Yes. All right.
Useless, useless orcs. But in the distance, you can hear that sound. It's getting closer and closer. Lork, you are up.
Lork is going to use his new feat, Quick Draw. He's going to switch the longbow out. Boom. Sheath it. Pull the... Masterwork Battle Axe and swing down at this guy that just got... He made a huge mistake getting in Lork's face.
Yeah, man.
Swings. Ugh. 13 to hit.
13 hits.
Yes!
Really?
It hits!
Holy shit. That is... Oh my god, he's got the Potion of Bull Strength.
Oh, yeah.
So plus
sorry,
two
I have to redo the math real
just
quick.
Just add another two.
It is 13 points of damage.
Kills him. Yeah. And like, for just so you know, I'm not skipping orc ferocity. You guys are killing them below their constitution score.
Wow.
So they don't have a chance for their ferocity to enact. He had exactly 13 hit points left, and he is dead as well.
Awesome.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
These are like minions.
Right, right.
And not like in the movie that was popular several months ago that everyone went to see. But they're like the... Yeah, never mind.
This is the Vanguard, is what this is. So obviously, they're not the best. Next up is Baron.
Baron is going to get up close and deadly with his orc. And he is going to say... Well, he's going to rapid reload. 5 foot step back so he doesn't incur an attack of opportunity. Rapid reload, paper alchemical cartridge. And he is going to say... The worst mistake of your life was when you slid down the crack of your mother's ass into her vagina.
I think you screwed it up, buddy.
No, he's saying...
That sounds very orcish.
That does sound like a bad mistake.
I'm saying
mom got,
that...
God had sex, ass sex. They're like, let's not get pregnant. And then...
please fully explain it.
And then it came out.
No, I want you to finish. I want you to finish right. Explaining this horrible metaphor.
Let me explain.
Can the cleric explain?
He's a medical professional.
When an orc loves another orc very much.
right.
Oh,
so I did 15 against touch AC.
That's a
hit. I thought it was 15 damage. I was like,
you upgraded to a shotgun.
Do you have a 1d6?
Yes.
I do. I have a 1d6.
So I do 7 plus 3, 9 points of damage.
Yeah.
Oh, baby. Do you have minus 1? You just said 7 plus 3 equals 9.
Equals 10.
Yeah, so 10 points of damage.
You can tell from my earlier anecdote that things aren't going well.
You guys are doing extremely well.
Is he dead? What's the matter with him?
He is not dead, but he is bloodied.
Okay.
And
is Troy, he below zero but just because of hit
he
point?
He is below zero.
Okay, so grid point.
He is below zero.
We need to...
Gormley! Get away from there!
The sound of the oncoming footsteps is getting louder and louder. Something's about to happen.
Okay.
Okay.
There's an orc
Ready the logs. At some point.
Well, Gormley,
Gormley's under immediate attack.
I'm under immediate attack. I could take a 5 foot step and shoot him with a crossbow, or I could full withdraw up in the direction of the logs.
Did you shoot? No, you did misfortune last round?
I did misfortune, yeah. Okay. I haven't shot. So I could...
You could do acrobatics checks to get around him. It's super risky.
She's done it before.
I've done it before.
She has.
You know what? Let's risk it.
Yeah. I have in my hand a bottle cap.
All right. If you make it through.
How bad do you want it?
Acrobatics.
15 acrobatics, Trick.
Against their CMD?
Yeah, even. Not plus five. Looks He's not moving through.
Somebody just got a bottle cap.
Oh! Oh, nice work. I thought he caught it. Yeah. Troy threw it across at a million miles an hour.
Almost.
All right, so you move past him to...
The logs.
The logs. Yeah. Okay, on the right. Awesome. Wow. So you kind of duck, shoom, fly out of the way, and then Lorca's going to fuck this guy up if he gets a chance.
And it is Galabras' turn. Bold.
So I think Gormley, like, kind of... Picture like kind of like sliding between his legs. He swings at her. Like, runs over to this.
And as she slides down, she scratches him a little bit on the inner thigh with a fingernail.
Of course she does,
Matrix style.
That's why no one trusts you, Gormley.
Okay, so Galabras, the orc that laughed at him, is last round is still alive, right? Is that the one he's coming at me?
Yep.
Yep. That's right. The same one.
Can I see if you find this funny? Well, probably do find it funny. I rolled a four, so... Laugh it up! Everyone laugh at the cleric who doesn't know how to use his new fucking weapon!
I started a joke, but the joke was on me.
What kind of weapon was it?
It's my crossbow.
He says, who gave Paula Poundstone a crossbow?
That is uncalled for, sir.
That is uncalled for.
Nice shooting, Paula.
I don't know who God. That is.
Now we have Boner and Paula. I love it. Our cleric, Paula.
Orcs are really into late 80s comedy, though.
I do not want this nickname catching on.
That's the worst thing you can say when a nickname starts catching on. God, right?
Don't call me Paula. Hey, remember when we all called Baron Boner? So that's fun.
Hey, Mr. Steve-O.
Not nearly as much fun as calling you Paula. Hey, that's going up T-bone. On the Tumblr. Who wants T-bone. To Photoshop Skid's head on Paula Poundstone's body?
I don't even understand, because like, was Paula Poundstone like really bad at like projectile weapons or something?
She hit her children with
notoriously
her
notoriously bad.
Okay, all right, all right. Fine, I'm Paula.
Like, keep that
Poundstone.
Woman away from a crossbow.
Troy. Now it's Omas' turn.
Oh.
Omas chugs a potion.
Oh, nice.
To heal himself because he took a
brilliant idea.
Pretty brutal blow early on in the fight. And now he's back up to full health. All right. Round four. You can see shadows of other creatures starting to come through the portcullis, but you don't see them yet. And now it is the two remaining orcs' moves. So, the guy, Hexy McGillicuddy, he moves up. actually, no, he comes back at
God damn it.
Gormley.
So he chases Gormley after sliding through his legs.
And whore. Scratching his thigh like a fucking creepshow.
And he's swinging with a great axe, I believe? Oh, I believe it was a...
No, it was a great sword, I believe.
It was not.
No, great sword is Omas.
Oh, right.
But you know what? It's a 14, and he misses!
Fucking A. Well, these guys are not really that good.
It was a great axe that almost killed Gormley once, wasn't it? That was a falchion.
Falchion, yeah.
Ooh, baby.
But that, thank you for bringing up that very painful time in Gormley's life. Appreciate that.
Either way, don't want to be hit by it.
And successfully repressed it.
And then this, the other orc drops his, whatever the hell he was, his spike chain, I think it was. That's what he was. He drops his spike chain and takes out a javelin, and with his last throw of his life, chucks a javelin at...
Does he have quick draw? Because that's a move action to fucking switch his weapon.
I don't make you use
I spent a feat.
I spent a feat.
You know what? He's right. He's totally right.
But you guys switch weapons all the time. I never...
As part of a move action.
Yeah.
Yeah. We drop as a them. Move, it's an action.
Yeah. All right, then he dies.
Yeah!
Fuck that guy.
He's pulling out his javelin, he falls dead.
He's like, I'll get you! Yeah, I mean, it's fair because he literally is 10 feet away. He has no way of attacking you unless he switches weapons, and in the effort to switch a weapon...
It's a move action. Yeah, so, just to clarify, that was the orc that called me Paula Poundstone, right?
It was, yes.
Okay. I said, Glad I said, now that's funny.
That's good.
It's better than anything Paula Poundstone ever did.
You're now up to Gallagher status.
How about Gallagher 2? His brother.
I need a Warhammer then if I'm going to be Gallagher.
You guys are old.
Just none of the references we make occur, but
refer to anything that occurs past like 1994.
Just then, you see three more orcs come storming through the gates in a haphazard
fashion.
In a haphazard, I was trying to say pattern and fashion.
Right.
In a haphazard passion.
In a haphazard
haberdash.
Are you sure you're not Omas?
I need some soothe syrup right now. They come running through, and then you see another dude way in the back behind the broken portcullis, and he's just kind of chilling back there, but you can kind of see him in the distance. And they're going to take turns firing things at you. One throws a... they've all got bows, just to make it easy. The first one... And
they
gonna,
didn't until this moment.
They're going to fire...
And are they all rolling on cover? Because we're all equally behind the barricade as they are.
Yep, so they'll all roll cover, and they're going to attack in this order. Lork, Baron, Galabras.
I think they should attack.
Okay, now the first guy rolled a 20 to hit.
That fails.
Wait, 20 fails against your AC?
Natural potion of bark skin, baby.
Holy shit, what's your AC right now?
I don't think I want to tell you.
Don't tell him, because he'll fudge the roll.
All right, well, I'm not even going to roll my cover then. All right, so the next one, roll misses. And
that's
then,
against Baron, I believe.
Yep, and then the last one against Galabras also misses.
Yes!
Useless.
Invincible!
And then you see this dude just go with a flint and light something in his
push
hand.
Push that fucking boulder away from us.
Omas is still in front of us.
And now it is Lork's turn. There's a lot of shit going down, guys.
Gormley goes, get this guy off me!
Yeah, Lork is not gonna... He's gonna... get away from the boulder for now to help Gormley, because that guy is still on Gormley. Came up behind her and missed, I think, right? But still, he's going to...
There's a lot of shit going down. I feel like we should just take a second to
let's
check back
down.
In. So the portcullis broke open. Six orcs rushed in. Craziness happened. You guys at this point have wiped out five
of the
them,
six.
And one of them is still standing there and missing... every attack against Gormley, but standing up in Gormley's shit while you guys are having croissants and coffees in the back. Now,
croissants.
In the meantime, three new orcs have come in, all armed with crossbows. Three misses at Lork, Baron, and Galabras. But then,
just to be clear, and this is like super fucking nerdy. Uh-huh. You said they had bows. Do they have bows or do they have crossbows? Because if they have crossbows, they can't keep moving at us and
they
shooting.
Have composite short bows.
Right, so they can keep moving at us and shooting.
Right.
So that's something to be aware of. Right.
And then in the meantime, way back behind the towers, you see this guy start lighting something in his hand. And now it is Lork's turn.
Lork wants to save Gormley. There's a companionship there, so he's actually going to charge from the back.
What?
Up at this guy.
So you're now flanking.
Flanking and charging, like all kinds of bonuses. The guy doesn't see him coming. He's got a masterwork battle axe. It should just be a hideous death.
This is going to be great.
This is what I'm hoping for.
Fumble.
This is what I'm hoping for. Oh, come on!
I should also mention he has a -2 to saves.
you're such a dick. I annihilated his fucking ass. I think I rolled a 29 to hit.
Even with the -2 to saves, it's a hit.
Fuck off.
Thank you.
Even with the -2 to saves.
Great hit.
Man. That was good.
An all time hit.
What's the damage?
The damage is 14 points of damage.
14 points of damage is enough to kill him.
Yeah. There you go, Gormley. Cut the logs, he says. Cut the logs.
So the entire first wave has now been killed. I can't believe. Only one of them got to enact ferocity, and he died changing weapons. That fucking loser.
That's his fault. I think that's DM failure, honestly.
Shut the fuck up. He's being nice to us today. Did you see him give out a bottle cap earlier?
Oh, my God. Unheard of.
It's and like you leveled up.
I did.
The Grinch's heart grew like 10 times.
Troy does have a heart that beats.
Baron's turn.
Baron is going to move forward to man the logs, right? Correct. And he's not going to do anything to the logs yet. He's going to rapid reload. And he is going to get up close and deadly with the orc immediately across from him. and he is going to roll 27 against touch AC.
What? Does that hit?
And then he's rolling... Oh, wait. I rolled a 27?
Was it a natural 20?
Yeah, that was a 20. So confirm.
Oh, my God. This would be the first gun crit.
Confirm.
It will.
First
wait, because you're rolling...
Confirm. 16 against touch AC to confirm.
You confirmed a crit.
Oh, my God. It's times four. Oh, we've never
times guessed. Four.
You pick three cards. I picked the best one.
Wait,
oh, God.
Wait,
so I don't get four? I get three?
Three.
So the only reason you weren't sure...
And I was up close and deadly, by the way.
...is you're using a mechanic... Like, you're using a computer rolling
He's using
system,
an app
right?
on his iPad.
Not the cheating app.
So that was a...
So he rolled and just looked at the total that the computer gave him,
right,
not at the original die.
Because otherwise you'd be like, I rolled a 20!
Yeah.
I was like, 27 is really fucking high, and then I realized
my
bonus was 7.
Don't those cards say, like, blunt, piercing, slashing? That means you have six options, because your gun is blunt and piercing.
Yep.
Hey, Skid, tell me about confirmed crits. Tell us about confirmed crits.
Okay, so when you roll critical, it's just like weapons like have different like critical ranges, so it's like you roll like... But usually, basically 20, if you roll a 20 on the die, it's a potential critical hit, so you potentially like give a really big hit. So then you roll again on the 20-sided die... and if the second roll would have resulted in a regular hit or better, that confirms the critical, and you get to pull one of these really fun critical cards.
Yeah, so the basic idea behind it is that if you rolled a critical every time you rolled a natural 20, eventually you'd roll too many criticals. It would be, like, overpowered, because when you get more attacks and stuff like that, you actually do roll 20 10% of the time, so it adds up.
And that is the way it used to be. Like,
5%
it used to be
of the time, but it adds up.
In original D&D and AD&D, it used to be just you roll a 20, it's critical.
Right, so now you have to confirm it, which means sometimes it makes it more rare and more awesome.
Yep.
And, well, this is the first time we've had a confirmed crit on the show.
From the gun.
And
I've been waiting for this because it's times four.
So I only get to choose from three cards, though.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, because on times three,
times,
you get
times
to choose
two,
from
two. You get two cards.
Okay.
Yeah.
So out of all these,
I mean, I think
what's better, being stunned or staggered?
Stunned.
Yep.
100.
So I have hit them with a nerve cluster.
Aha. We hit the spider with one.
Yeah,
of them.
The Lork hit the spider with a nerve cluster a long time ago.
Stunned, they can't do anything.
So I do 10 damage, and they are stunned for two rounds.
Oh, completely take him out of the fight.
Yep.
Wait, that is awesome.
You do 10 damage, so you've knocked him below zero.
Great point back.
First of all.
So he's done. He's dead.
Second of all, and he's still... Yeah, you've murdered him. He's,
yeah,
he's
so,
effectively
in the next round, while he's stunned, he would try to do something with his Zork Ferocity, but it'd just be basically paralyzed and then pass out.
And
so
this
he,
was
like,
the guy on the far, your far left, my right, dead. He's essentially dead.
Nicely done. Yes. Oh, the first gun crit. I was waiting for that one.
They like shot him like right in the solar plexus. And he's like, oh.
Yeah.
Right in a nerve cluster. Yeah.
Dropped to his knees, just staring at you. Not unlike the toddler full of ranged weapons. all right, Gormley.
Gormley is gonna grab her hope knife that's hanging around her neck.
What?
And yank it out, and cut the rope.
Yeah.
Pulling
the log. Shit! So you're gonna cut the rope holding the logs. Oh my!
Oh man, I love this. I love
this. And that's so there's one guy in the range of that attack. I was not expecting this.
Is that a standard? Is that a standard action or a full round action?
Cutting the logs.
The standard action.
If
you were cutting.
Standard action. Yeah.
Yeah. If you want it to be done in one round.
It's a 25 to hit. I rolled the logs for you. It's a plus 15. I rolled a 10. 25 to hit. It does 3d6 points of bludgeoning damage, and brings him below zero.
Oh, awesome, Gormley!
And then for her move action, she's going to sheath her hope knife and pull. Which she was not totally supposed to use, by the way. She totally broke her tradition to do that. And she's going to pull her crossbow out and be ready for the next thing.
Oh, so, that's awesome. Yeah, yeah. I forgot about that. She's breaking tradition, but she doesn't give a shit. She's been living in the mountains, but yeah.
So Gormley's like, cuts with it, takes this orc out, and he's knocked prone. Which means the simple act of getting up could be enough to kill him.
Yes. Yes.
All right. It is Galabras' turn.
All right. Galabras. Wow. Is
actually
so. There's no one left between the two barricades where we are. There are
There are two orcs still standing.
And I lied. He isn't knocked prone. I rolled a reflex save, and he stood up.
Okay. You could,
but he's below zero.
You could, with your spark, start thinking about preparing that boulder.
I will do that. So Glabrous will step up, will clamber down from the barricade, and go over to the boulder and prepare to use his zero-level spell, Spark, to set it ablaze. Oh, actually,
it's ranged.
We need to have it start moving before you do it, though, so we can push it, right?
Okay.
Well, you can light it and then push it. It's fine.
You also can light it range. You have a 25-foot range on it.
But here's the thing. It's going to take...
He reaches out his hand, and, like, his three fingers, like, sparks, like, dance between his three fingers, and touches it to the boulders.
Hold on. I'm just a little slow, but I have a great sound for this.
Give me fuel. Give me fire. Give me that which I desire.
Yeah, the boulder blazes flames. Green flames surround the boulder, and it's going to take someone strong to push it when you're ready. But in the meantime, that flame has no intention of going out.
Oh, awesome!
So this giant beacon, basically, is lit. All right, Omast. Omast.
Orc yells, Omast, get out of the way!
Omast runs up to this dude.
Oh, yeah.
The one that... actually, no. He should run up to... he runs up to the guy that isn't about to die. And attacks him with his great sword. And hits.
Yeah.
Oh, he hits him big time.
Nice.
And knocks him to zero.
Oh, awesome.
Round five. The first guy, the one that Gormley...
logged.
Logged with his last remaining breath. And you have cover, too. He misses and dies. That's orc number eight, for those of you following at home. And then the one next to Omast, with his last breath. He hits Omast. He hits Omast pretty bad. Ooh, he fucks up Omast for 12 points of damage.
Fuck.
Ooh, ouch.
Omast has really been a great, impressive warrior.
So. Omast, you see Omast like, rah, whip back, because you guys are all behind Omast. He gets hit by the greatsword so hard that he, like, flinches back and blood kind of squirts everywhere.
Just the sweat off a boxer.
Yeah.
It's like,
and you guys see this all from behind.
In the rain.
And that orc dies as well. And then, the one remaining orc, way behind the portcullis, hurls this, looks like a clay globe that you can see as it's spinning towards Gormley. It's lit on fire. Well, who's closest? Let me see.
Omast.
Omast, yeah, but it's going, he's aiming for people at the barricade. So he throws this grenade.
Thanks, Baron.
Baron pointed at
Gormley. Gormley makes sense.
Very
helpful. It really makes sense to hit Gormley.
16.
It's a miss.
Does not hit.
Okay, so what happens is...
Oh, right.
Yeah, it's a grenade, right?
It's a grenade, so it did not
splash
directly
damage.
Hit you. It does splash damage. So the grenade lands right sort of behind you to the right. So it's going to do splash damage on Lork and Galabras. Excuse me, and Gormley. I am sweating.
I know.
What's the splash damage?
First, you both roll a reflex save.
17.
7 for Gormley.
Gormley did not pass. Lork did.
I have been rolling terribly in this game.
Yeah. But at least you just got hit by an explosive.
Well, that makes everything better.
You both take 4... you take 4 points of fire damage. Lork, you take 2 points of fire damage.
Huh.
It's not too bad.
It could have been much worse, Gormley.
I love the smell of burnt orc in the morning.
And
whoever
then,
thought of burning a witch?
And then this this bombardier, noticing that his compatriots have all died, takes a step back out of sight.
What a fucking bitch.
So for a second, we don't see any
For
wigs.
A second, you don't see anyone. What do you do?
Start rolling this boulder.
You're still in combat.
Well, no, I think we got a hold on the boulder, right? Don't we want to see a line of enemy? I'm going to say, Omas, get behind the barricade!
Yeah, but I think
Omas, when on his turn, we'll come back.
I think Lork, you should still get ready to push it.
No, I absolutely will. I mean, already back there. I'll take a few steps back to get ready to push the log. But I don't want to hit Omas, so I'm not going to push it this round. But I'm going to tell him to get back, and then we got to see what comes through that gate. I don't want to waste it.
Yeah. I think Gormley
already in action.
Gormley might want to get over towards my wood barricade, log pile that hasn't been triggered yet, in case I need to fire and then someone else wants to like let him go.
I'm guessing. Sure. So Gormley will rush over to Baron, Hope Knife at the ready to cut.
And here's a question. Was that like a free action telling Omas to get behind the barricade? Or I should wait till after his turn?
You're yelling.
My question is, like, I could move back to the boulder and I could ready an action that is like, as soon as I see someone come through the gate, I could push the boulder. But I'm not going to do it if Omas is there. So can I say that as a ready to action? Like, if somebody comes through the barricade and I'm not going to hit Omas, I'll push it instantly when
that
happens.
That's fine. Yeah, it's like, I think of it like playing pool. You're calling your shot. If this condition and this condition is fine.
Gormley is not going to ready in action if the boulder is going to go first.
So Gormley just backed up behind the boulder. Lork.
No, Gormley moved up behind the logs, ready to cut the logs.
Oh, behind the other set of logs.
Yeah.
Okay. And Baron, what are you doing?
Baron's going to stay where he is and get ready to shoot anyone. Depending on the situation, I might shoot another flare into a big group. We'll see what happens.
Standing behind the barricade. Galabras, what are you doing?
How's everybody's hit points? I'm good.
I have been untouched so far.
I'm okay. That Canadian. Okay.
Everyone's like your bark
Omas
skin.
Omas is the only one that needs.
Your bark skin.
Oh, right. Omas needs some.
Okay.
Omas took a 12-point hit. So
everyone's
like,
potions are still in effect, right?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a while. Yeah.
Galabras is going to stay waiting by the boulder because he knows Lorik just told him to come back here. And he shouts at Omas, come back, Omas, I'll heal you.
Okay, and then Omas, listening to both Lork and his best friend, Galabras, his best friend in the whole world, makes double moves back up to you guys. So he's behind Gormley and Baron, who are standing right in front of the remaining log pile, and standing to the left of his best friend Galabras, and on the other side of Galabras is Lork, who is ready
behind
to push
the
boulder.
Ready to put his hands right down. In the fire to push.
I didn't say it, but like I wanted him ready in action to heal him, like when he came up.
That's what I assumed. Okay, okay, roll to heal him. He took 12 points of damage.
Right. So I use the wand.
Oh,
nine.
Oh, God, you rolled. That wand is amazing. You and that wand are amazing together.
I love this wand. It's like magic.
That's what she said. sorry.
So you guys are all standing there, and all of a sudden you see that battering ram that they used to crash through the gates. It's starting to move. It's starting to shake. And then you see it come rushing at you very, very slowly with nine orcs, five on one side, four on the other, coming straight for the entire party to crash through the front barricade while Lork stands behind the boulder, Galabras to his left, Omas to his left, and Gormley and Baron standing in front of the logs. And we'll pick it up here next time.
I knew you were going to
do that!
Asshole, man!
I will murder you!
Fuck you!
Fucking asshole, you're worse than Omas.